Good afternoon to everyone. Welcome on EPH 2020 financial results and ESG update. On our side in the room, we have myself, Pavel Horský, CFO of the group. Then we have Jiří Macoty, who is a member of the board in EP Power Europe, and as well as vice chairman of the board in EPIF. And we have also Tomáš Mřežanský as a deputy CFO of EPH. So once again, welcome, and we will start with the presentation. Let's start with the page 4, where we have the executive summary. So I'm proud to present you the 2020 EPH results. In 2020, despite the outbreak, the COVID outbreak, we have achieved very strong results in EPH. Consolidated sales were at the level of 8.5 billion euros, EBITDA 2.1 billion euros, net leverage decreased year on year from 2.4 times EBITDA to 2 times EBITDA, and the group cash flow, conversion stands at a pretty strong level of 82%, which is year on year at the same level. I think what is important is to summarize the strengths of EPH. EPH as a group is integrated, vertically integrated energy utility, which operates in the area of gas transmission, gas storage, gas and heat, and electricity distribution and supply, and also in the domain of power generation and mining. I think that the strength of EPH is that it operates mainly critical infrastructure. 88% of EBITDA is covered by regulated or generated by regulated long-term contracted businesses. Because of this feature, EPH financial standing and performance is very much resilient, which we have proved also in 2020, because despite the COVID outbreak, the company more or less repeated the same results as in 2019, which we believe is a very positive moment. And also we've been able to decrease, despite the situation and challenging situation in the market, to decrease the leverage of the group from 2.4 to 2 times EBITDA. One of the very important features of the group is very strong cash flow conversion, conversion from EBITDA to the cash flow, which is above our peers. So if you look at our leverage, EBITDA defined leverage, then obviously having higher cash flow conversion from EBITDA gives you much more comfort in terms of leverage of EPH, and in fact having the same peers or having peers with the same EBITDA leverage. Given the very strong cash flow generation, our leverage is in comparison lower. So cash flow generation and very strong conversion ratio is very important from the risk perspective and for EPH. The other very important element is low leverage. I have already mentioned 2 times EBITDA. And also what is important to mention here is that we have very conservative maturity profile, which is a result of our intense work during 2020 and Q1 2021, which I will describe later, because we did a lot of refinancing within the group and prolong the debt maturity of the group. So financially, the group is very strong. It is having a resilient business, which is based on regulated and contracted assets. So this is one part of the performance of EPH. The other very important part of our performance and efforts and targets is ESG area, mainly environmental topics which we are dealing with, because obviously as a power generator we are having certain coal assets in our portfolio, and our major and utmost interest is to decrease the emissions quickly. In this area, we are one of the leaders in decarbonization, and we are very quickly transitioning from the coal to other means of other fuels for power generation. I think what is important to mention here is that we are very much focused on production of electricity which is sustainable, because in the environment renewable sources of power generation are growing very rapidly, it is very important to secure the stability of the network. So you have to have enough capacity to generate power only also in situations where there is no wind or there is no sun. So from this perspective, to maintain and to have available such a flotilla of sustainable generation capacities is very important, and this is one of the core key targets of EPH Group. So we would like to generate a sustainable power, that's one point, and also affordable power for our customers and services for our customers. So EPH belongs to one of the leaders in decarbonization, and as I said, we are trying to transition from the coal very quickly. I think what we can mention here and what is important is that we've been successful to decline our emission intensity by 47% between years 2014 and 2020, and savings approximately 21 million of CO2 per year compared to 2014. Also, what is important to mention that we have already decided to close further coal capacities which we have in Germany, in France, and in UK. These capacities will be closed in years 2021 to 2023, and it will bring additional savings of roughly 8 million tons of CO2 per year. So I think it's a clear evidence that the environmental topics are one of the keystones of our strategy, and we are very mindful about decreasing the CO2 emissions rapidly and in line with the the targets which have been set by European Union and the countries within the European Union. If you look at the page 5, this page summarizes the key strengths, which most of them I have already mentioned. So EPH keeps a diversified portfolio, not only geographically, but also across the entire utility value chain. Geographically, we have our operations in Czech Republic, Slovakia, Germany, Italy, France, United Kingdom and Republic of Ireland. So geographically, we are more or less placed in center or Western Europe. Key assets are having a leading position in the area of operations. So these are mainly the infrastructure assets. If you look at what we have as infrastructure assets, we have transmission of gas. Really, we are one of the most important transmission utility in Europe, having a capacity of 88 billion cubic meters of gas. So this is like unique position which we have. We have DSOs, so power, gas, and heat distribution, which are always in principle monopoly in the area where they operate, and we have also storage capacities, which gas storage capacities, where we have the largest share in the center Europe. So all this also supports the performance and stability of businesses which we have. As I said, most of EBITDA, 88%, is generated from regulated and long-term contracted businesses. So again, stability and predictability of profit generation and cash flow. Majority of EPH financial results stems from operations with a negligible CO2 footprint, which is mainly part the infrastructure part of EPH, which is called EP infrastructure. As I already mentioned, we are the leader in decarbonization and the transitioning from coal. We have already saved 21 million tons of CO2 per year, and we plan and decided to save another 8 million by 2023, and there is a precise plan for further improvement also beyond 2023, which will be then described by Gary later on. In terms of financial profile, we have very strong cash flow conversion of EBITDA into the cash flow. We have very low leverage as a group. We have very, very much diversified debt maturity profile of the group. And also, if you look at EPH, the major part of EPH, which is created by EP, is investment grade company or group. So again, externally, the profile of the group is more or less investment grade as a whole. Last but not least, what is important, we have very stable and highly competent management, which in many cases was part of the acquisition processes, and after the acquisition is completed, this management and these people are then working in companies which we have acquired. Page 6, EPH at glance. As I mentioned, EPH is based on consists of two major subgroups. The most important nowadays is EP infrastructure, which is, as the name shows, is comprised of most infrastructure assets which we have within EPH. The group has four segments: gas transmission, gas and power distribution, gas storage, heat infrastructure. These companies are mainly based in Slovakia. The heat business is based in Czech Republic. The most important numbers, EPIF created 74% of EBITDA in 2022 of whole EPH. It has excellent cash flow conversion of 87%. It is having almost only regulated and long-term contracted businesses, as already mentioned, marginal CO2 footprint. The other part of the group is EP Power Europe, which mainly consists of power generation activities and mining in Germany. The group is having presence in UK, Republic of Ireland, Italy, France, and Germany. The group invested, EP Power Europe heavily invested into zero and low emission capacities during the last couple of years. It was almost 1 billion euro, and also we have committed ourselves to invest further money to further decrease the CO2 footprint, and we are talking like committing of another 500 million euros to achieve these goals. In addition to it, post 2023, we believe we will spend another hundreds of millions into new photovoltaic and wind projects in Germany. Namely in the company Mibrag, which is currently mining company, but obviously this company is having huge lands and plots. So on these lands, we will build new wind parks and photovoltaic power stations. As already mentioned, we are a leader in decarbonization and transition from coal. Probably no reason to repeat. What is important is that 80% of the hard coal-fired power plants will be closed by 2023, and all of them will be closed by 2025, so only 4.5 years left before we close all our hard coal power plants. And all non-German operations will close the lignite fire power plants by 2030. Germany is exception. The reason is very simple, because Germany is having currently a relatively difficult transition period, not only from coal but also from nuke. So it can't be done immediately. So we have to follow the decision of German government. So the German capacities will be closed by 2035, which are consolidated by EPH. The total number of employees is roughly 11,000. If you look at KPIs of the group, because it's always good not to talk only about financial results, but also about technical KPIs. As I mentioned, gas transition capacity is 88 BCM per year. We have transported last year 57 BCM. It was slight decrease compared to 2019. The reason was relatively simple, because there was front loading of the transmission of gas in 2019. So 2019 was exceptionally high. So from that perspective, 57 to 60 BCM per year is something which is, from the long-term perspective, absolutely normal for the business. We have distributed 5.5 BCM of gas. Our storage capacity increased to 64.2 terawatt hours. The installed capacity, the power generation capacity was 11 gigs, and we have produced 38 terawatt hours per in 2020. We have also supplied almost 20 petajoules of heat. On page 7, there is a nice summary of financial results of EPH, and you can also see the trends. I will not repeat myself with sales and adjusted EBITDA, because I have already mentioned it. I think what is important to mention is very sustainable CAPEX within the group, which is around 400 million euros. You can also see decreasing leverage of the group through the years. When in 2017, the leverage was around 2.8 times EBITDA. At the end of 2020, it was 2 times EBITDA. So clearly, the financial policy of the group is to be conservative in terms of leverage. And once again, I have to emphasize that the leverage, which is EBITDA, calculated based on EBITDA, is further mitigated and supported by the strong cash flow conversion of the group, which is significantly above the average which you can see in the utility segment. On page 8, there is ESG, summary of ESG. Probably I would skip it and leave it for later for Gary to go through it into the detail. On page 9, again, page 9 is trying to explain our financial policy and also the exceptional cash conversion of the group. I think in terms of financial policy, if we will summarize it, I think what is the most important for us is conservative level of leverage. What is important for us is conservative debt maturity profile of the group. In terms of financial policy, we are always trying to be cost disciplined. So this is something which we are very much focused on. And if you look at our acquisitions, this is one of our key strengths, because we are able to substantially optimize the costs of acquired companies while still keeping best standards of maintenance. So we have a lot of examples, for example, from SPPI, where, for example, in Eustream, we were able to decrease CAPEX by 50%. We were able to decrease OPEX by 50%. So this is very important strategic part of our operation. Apart from cost discipline, I think what is also very important is a conservative acquisition strategy, which we have proven through the years. Because if you look at EPA through the years, we have started, the group has been created in 2009. And from the time, the leverage, despite all the acquisition which we have implemented through time, the leverage stayed at a very conservative level. So this is, again, very important that the acquisition is something which should have added value to the group, not should be to the detrimental of the group. And this is a strategy which we are keeping through the years, and we have very good track record. If you look at the debt of EPH, the net debt was roughly 4.2 billion euros at the end of 2020. 88% out of it is attributable to EPF. So the major part of the debt is in EPF, and EPF is investment grade group. So if you look at the whole EPH, EPH is more or less investment group as well. We are not, we have not so far accepted to have a rating at EPH level, and the reason is very simple, because we still believe that we would like to grow, and rating in a way is putting certain limitation on your business. But at the same time, as a group, and having the financial, very conservative financial policy, and if you look at and compare us to our peers, you would find that our leverage and other parameters are in line with the investment grade companies. So from that perspective, the rating is not at ETH level because of the potential growth of the group, but otherwise we behave completely in line of like being the investment grade company. Page 10. I think this shows also our conservative approach to financing of the group. In 2020 and in the beginning of 2021, we did a lot of refinancing within the group with the major aim to prolong the maturity, debt maturity profile of the group. And it was a huge work, and I think that the result is just a nice one, because if you look at the whole situation, we have only 500 million euro to be refinanced this year, more or less, which is bond maturing at SPP Distribucia, which is the gas distribution business in Slovakia. this bond will be refinanced relatively very soon. So we already assume that the bond is already refinanced, which is the yellow bar in 2033, because this is the assumption that we will issue either 10 or 12 years bond to refinance the maturing one SPP Distribucia. Otherwise, there is no major refinancing in following 3 years, which is, I believe, a great result. And you have to also take into account that 2020 was a very difficult year for refinancing. So we've managed to refinance huge amount of exposure and to move it to more to the future. And as a summary, we did EPIF bank loan refinancing in the beginning of 2020. We did EPH bond in March 2020. So in the beginning of the crisis, we are able to to issue 300 million bond in Czech Republic. We have refinanced EUStream bond with maturity 2027. We have issued EPIF bond 10 years, maturity 2031. And also recently we have concluded $1 billion financing at EPH level with the maturity of 3 years. So the guys on financing will probably have 2 years of easy time before they will start to refinance the rest of the exposure. But anyway, I believe that this result and very much supports the conservative risk profile of the group. Now page 12. This is my most favorite chart. When I'm having presentation, I spend on it most of the time, and maybe and in some cases I'm using only this chart because you can explain everything on it. So if you have a look on it, EPH is consisting of two subgroups, EPIF, which the whole name is EP Infrastructure, which is a holding company based in Czech Republic. The company is having two shareholders. 69% is owned by EPH, and EPH consolidates the group. 49% is owned by Mira, Macquarie led investors. Mira has entered the structure in 2017, so there is already very good and positive track record with Mira as a co-shareholder in the company. Since 2017, we've been able to get investment grade ratings at EPA. We've been able to completely refinance and restructure the way how we finance the group, because in the beginning it was financed only via bank club financing. Nowadays, almost 80% of the group is financed through bonds with a very long-term maturity, and the rest, obviously, roughly 800 million euros of limits is provided by banks nowadays. EPIF creates 74% of the whole EPH EBDA. As I mentioned, 88% of debt. The cash conversion 87%, which is very interesting number, I would say, and the leverage at the end of the year was 4.1 times EBITDA, and as I mentioned, we are having three investment grade ratings from all three major agencies, and you will see a little bit later. And the overall EBITDA of EPIF was roughly 1.6 billion euros in 2020. Then the other part of the group is EP Power Europe, which consists mainly of power generation activities and the mining company in Germany, which is called Mibrag. We have several countries where we are present. We are present in Italy, United Kingdom, Republic of Ireland, Germany, and France. And also we are having one trading company in Switzerland, and the most important trading company, EP Commodities, in the Czech Republic. The overall EBITDA of the group is roughly 500 plus million euros, and we believe it will grow further in following years. So the importance of EP Power Europe will grow a little bit in the future. What is also important to mention here is that EP Infrastructure is very much based on regulated and long-term contracted business. The same strategy we also have in case of EP Power Europe. Whilst in case of EP Infrastructure, almost the whole EBITDA is created by regulated and long-term contracted businesses. In case of EP Power Europe, it's also very high share of these businesses on overall EBITDA. In 2020, it was roughly 60% of EBITDA was created by regulated, semi-regulated and long-term contracted businesses. And because of new investments which we are currently doing in Italy and UK, the share will grow in the future. So again, what we are trying to focus is on businesses which are predictable, sustainable, and this is definitely the case in case of EP infrastructure, but it is also very much important element in case of EP Power Europe, which also, which even will grow in the future. We have also two participations which are not consolidated. One is Slovenské elektrárne, which is dominant power generator in Slovakia, and we have also 50% in company called LAG, which are the previous Vattenfall's assets in Germany. LAG is pure transitional story, so we are divesting from the coal and we are investing into new sources of power generation, mainly renewables. We have huge program in LAG of where we plan to build over 3 gigs of renewables. We are also recently won a long-term contract for new CCGT, which will serve as for the security of grid purposes. So the company currently is lignite-based company, but the plan is to completely transform the company into non-coal company, which will be based mainly on renewables and other transitional fuels like biomass or gas. We have, as I already mentioned, we have already spent 1 billion euro in zero and low emission investments. We plan to spend another 500 in following 3 years. And in case of Nybrak, once we get permissions, which we expect to be post 2023, we plan huge, several hundred million program to build renewables in the area where Nybrak operates. So again, very huge focus on the environmental aspect of our operations. Page 13, if we have a look at EP infrastructure, the major highlights, I believe I've already mentioned most of them, but let's go through it and summarize them. This is investment grade company. So we have obtained BBB from S&P, Baa3 from Moody's, and BBB- from Fitch Rating. These ratings have been obtained in 2017, and we are regularly able to keep them. And despite the last year very challenging situation in markets, we've been able to keep it with a stable outlook. So I think it's very good evidence of the strong performance of the group. The group operates critical energy infrastructure, so it's gas transmission. It's key for the whole EU. It's not only local business, it's EU business. So the company transmit gas in the traditional way, so from Russia through Ukraine to Western Europe, but also is able to transmit gas from west to east, so mainly to Ukraine. So this is key pipeline for European Union, and it will stay so also in the future. The other critical infrastructure elements are obviously DSOs, so we have we have heat, gas, and power distribution in Slovakia, hit in Czech Republic. And these are companies very critical for Slovakia and Czech Republic. By the way, Slovakia belongs to one of the most gasified countries in the world, with a penetration of 95-98%. So for us, it's a very stable regulated business. Track record of stable and resilient performance. I think it is clear that if we are able to keep the rating also in such a challenging year like 2020, the company shows a very strong resilience of the business. So critical infrastructure, which is supplying critical services and commodities to customers. Large and diversified asset base. So we are not only infrastructure asset or company or group which is focused on one part of infrastructure, energy infrastructure. We are having four businesses, so it gives gain another element of stability to the group because we have four businesses, so we are diversified, and it nicely showed in 2020 because at the time Eustream was the prices of gas were a little bit lower in 2020, but at the same time the storage gas storage business was booming because the spreads for gas storage were very high in 2020. So it nicely showed that and there is a diversification element within the group. So despite the fact that EUSIG EBDA went down a little bit, on the contrary, the EBDA of the storage business went up significantly. So this is just to give you an example how the diversification in EPIF works, and this is helpful to the risk profile of the group. What I have not mentioned on the previous stage was that most of the Slovakian businesses are owned together with the Slovak state, where we owned 49% in Slovak businesses, Slovak state owning 51% in the company. There is a shareholder agreement with Slovak counterparty, which clearly defines management control under which EPH is the controlling shareholder or EPIF is controlling shareholder over these assets. So therefore, we also consolidating these assets. I would say that the presence of Slovakian counterparty and Slovakian state in the shareholder structure is positive for the group. For example, in case of Eustream, the Slovak state is strongly helping us in negotiation around the gas contracts and also helping us at the level of European Union. And the same examples could be found also in case of other businesses which we have a Slovakian counterparty, the Slovakian state. So we believe, and there is a huge track record for this, that having Slovak state aside is very positive for the structure. Strong cash flow generation, already mentioned. EPF is a huge cash flow generator with very high conversion of EBDA into the cash flow, which is very positive also for the leverage and debt service of the company. And again, the reflection is very clear one because we are having three investment grade from all three major rating agencies. And again, I have to mention the important fact that we have long-term stable management who is focused on cost management, on the business, and is very responsible also in terms of new acquisitions. On page 14, again, summary of EP Power Europe, major highlights. So, and this is key for us, we want to operate a safe and controllable power generation and renewable assets. This is very important in the environment of growing share of renewables on the overall production of power in Europe. because you have to keep the stability. So apart from building new capacities, which is also our strategy, meaning in renewables, I would say very important aspect of our operation is to keep security of the supply of power, for which you need controllable power generation assets. So this is core stone of our strategy in EP Power Europe. Again, we are trying to focus on assets which are contracted or regulated, which is evident by very high share of these assets on overall EBITDA of the group. The leverage of the group is very low one, which we are trying to somehow reflect the character of these assets, because still we have certain level of EBITDA dependent on the merchant sold power. So the leverage is very low. We are a leader in decarbonization and in transition from coal. We have already decided to close several coal power station, hard coal power station through the Europe, with the overall installed capacity of almost 2 gigawatts, which is a huge achievement from our side, and which will save another roughly 8 million tons of CO2 per year once all these capacities are closed. And what is also important to mention here is that we are heavily investing into transition from coal. So we are now building 2 CCGTs, one in Italy, the other one in UK. Overall, the cost of these investments are almost 500 million euros, which in case of UK, it will replace existing hard coal power plants, so a huge improvement of CO2 emissions. In case of Italy, it will replace old CCGT. So again, with a higher efficiency, we will improve. We will significantly decrease CO2 emission by these 2 investments. As a part of our business, obviously, we have built strong presence also in the markets. We have 2 companies, EP Commodities, EP Resources. The overall EBITDA of these 2 companies are roughly 32 million euros in 2020. So again, strong business which we have built in the area of commodity markets. And again, I have to mention that we have very strong management, and this is something we really care of, to have good managers, stable managers, and long-term managers which work in our companies. So this is, let's say, the financial part of the presentation. If you allow me, I will just pass over to Gary to have you the update on ESG, because I think we did a lot in this area, and I think we are more than happy to share it with you.
Thank you, Pavel. For those that know me or those that don't, my name is Gary Mazzotti. I'm the Vice Chairman and Independent Member of the Board of EP Infrastructure, and I'm also the Independent Member of the Board of EP Power Europe. I have been given by the shareholders of the group, both EPH and its other minority shareholders, the responsibility for driving further the ESG agenda through the EPH group and through both companies. I think that clearly shows the commitment of the shareholders to drive ESG successfully through the group in a transparent manner. And today is a continuation of that transparency that in fact was started some time ago. The group is positioned, as Pavel says, in 2 key parts for the transition. In EPIF, we are positioned as a major infrastructure player in Slovakia in transit, distribution and storage of gas. Our assets will therefore play a key role in the transition of European energy to both renewables and green gases. So for EPIF as one pillar, it will provide infrastructure to enable the transition away from a coal environment, and EP Power Europe will actually do the transition itself. So if we refer to page 16, the key points are at the top there. At the end of 2020, we published for the first time a full ESG presentation on EPH, including our plans for closure and transition to other power. We're pleased within this presentation to update that even since the end of 2020, we've made significant additional progress on the closure of major coal and lignite power plants. They're detailed for you, and Pavel's also mentioned them. In France, Provence 5 and El Houchet 6 will be closed, both before the end of the first quarter 2022. In Germany, Mehrum and Düben lignite power plants, Mehrum hard coal power plant will be closed this year. I'm particularly pleased to announce, as Pavel has, that Kilroot will be transitioned to CCGT, also forming a significant reduction in our CO2 prints. Clearly, closure of plants is one part of the transition story. The more important part of the transition story for EP Power Europe is what we transition to. Clearly, the group has already had significant success, in the UK with Lionmouth transitioning to biomass. But we also transition to CCGTs, and for the first time, EPH is able to demonstrate its clear intention to transition to renewable power, specifically on the redundant land that will become available on its existing energy infrastructure, coal energy infrastructure. And for those that watch the press, EP New Energies, which is part of EPH Group, recently announced a supply agreement with GE Renewables for wind turbines in the amount of 300 megawatts. So this is the first time that EPH can clearly demonstrate its strategy of transitioning not just to biofuels, to biomass, but also to renewable energies. In the field of ESG policies, pleased to announce for both EPIF and EP Power Europe, and therefore to EPH, that we've issued a full set of ESG policies, which you can find on the websites of all three companies. We've managed to include new policies on asset integrity, cybersecurity, whistleblowing, diversity or biodiversity. And we're very pleased now to have those fully available and in the process of being implemented throughout all group companies, both within EPIF and in EP Power Europe. So we move to page 17. As said, a clear commitment from the shareholders to drive through ESG in an independent manner, which I think is quite unique amongst its peer groups and shows the commitment of the shareholders to the ESG agenda. The vast majority of the financial results of EPH, as Pavel has said, do not involve CO2 footprint, and we will continue to drive that CO2 footprint down. The important issue, I think, on EPIF is to re-emphasize that we are in gas infrastructure. It is the bridging fuel to a net zero. It will be the bridging fuel to the net zero, and we are positioned very strategically in transit, distribution in Slovakia, and storage in Czech Republic, Slovakia, Austria, and Germany to play a key role as Europe not only transitions to renewable energy and electric mobility, but also transitions to green gases, whether that be biogas, synthetic methanes, or even the famous hydrogen. EPH has been, is, and will be one of the major European groups that is carrying out the transition from a high carbon footprint for Europe to a zero footprint. In order to do that, EPH in 2014 to 23 will reduce its emissions by some 29 million tons. We therefore are already one of the leading groups in the transition away from CO2. The emission intensity of our assets already 2014 to 2020 has decreased by 47%, and the plans we lay out today and will lay out further for you, the EPH group aims to take away 42 million tons of CO2 annually by 2035. In order for Europe to transition successfully to a zero carbon environment, it needs companies to do it, not companies that sell its assets and move on. It needs companies to do it. And this presentation, I think, highlights the role that EPH is playing, has played and will play in the transition to a net zero environment. If we move to page 18, it re-emphasizes the main points that I've said. We're also able, through this presentation in December 2020 and today's presentation, to show that we have a very clear transition plan for each one of our assets that we operate, both within EP Power Europe and EPIF. We're also committed to doing that as fast as reasonably possible. For a successful transition, the transition has to be affordable both for governments and for individual consumers, but it also needs to be done in a way which ensures that the social implications of a fast transition are fully taken into account. So we remain, as EPH and EPIF and EP Power Europe, committed to the fastest possible transition, and we lay down here a very clear transition plan and an effective independent monitoring system to ensure that the group carries that out. Pavel's mentioned the massive investment that the group intends to make, both within CCGTs, OCGTs, wind power, and in fact photovoltaic power as well. EPH will continue to invest in its fleet of dispatchable, modern, low-carbon footprint assets. For EP Power Europe and for EPIF, we believe we are at the forefront of the modern technologies. And in fact, pleased to confirm that Ustream in Slovakia is part of the European Hydrogen Backbone Project, which we believe will play a key role in the transformation of grey hydrogen to blue hydrogen to green hydrogen. EPH, through EP Power Europe, has a balanced portfolio of power generation assets. EPIF is already centered around infrastructure for gas. EP Power Europe will centralize its transition from coal around gas through to renewables, through to future technologies. On page 19, we highlight exactly how we envisage the phase out and the decommissioning and the reduction of our greenhouse gases to become a low emission company. If we move to page 20, in summary, not only do we have the ambitions going forward, but we're able to show you specific examples of what the group has realized in the past. In Limehouse, in Egborough, Bush House, Mumsdorf, Fiume Santo, and Elektrana or Patovica in the Czech Republic. On the second part of the page, you can see the planned closures and the conversion projects that the group has planned or already has in operation. So the picture of these pages, I think, is a clear commitment for EP infrastructure to play a role in the infrastructure necessary for the transition to a zero carbon environment, and the role that EP Power Europe is playing in actually transitioning away from coal and lignite plants through the transition medium of natural gas through to future technologies and renewables. In essence there, we also lay out on page 21 the key plants and the key plans that we have. I won't read those for you line by line. And a confirmation on page 22 that currently the plans of the group will be to save more than 42 million tons of CO2 annually by 2035. Page 23 reconfirms that already EPH Group via EPIF and its transitioned sources of power in EP Power Europe is already making the majority of its financial results from a very limited CO2 footprint. So this is an update of ESG within EP Infrastructure and EP Power Europe. It's a clear, transparent history of what the group has achieved so far, but more importantly, the role that both of the key subsidiaries of EP Power Europe will play in the transition of European CO2. I think that's probably enough for a summary presentation. So I'll hand over to Pavel for page 25 for a summary of the key takeaways.
Yeah, thank you, Barry. So let me just summarize in a couple of sentences 2020 results of EPH and ESG update presented by Gary. I think what is important is to mention is that critical that EPH, the vast part of EPH is represented by critical infrastructure. Most of EBDA, roughly 88% in 2020, was generated by regulated long-term contracted businesses. So the group as a whole is stable, predictable, and resilient. We have very low leverage as a group, which is fully in line with the investment grade requirements. We have very strong cash flow conversion, which further supports the very low leverage which we are showing. And also we have very, very conservative maturity profile. Year 2020 was for EPH a successful year despite a very challenging situation in markets. We have more or less repeated 2019 results. And even more, we have decreased year-on-year leverage between 2019 and 2020. So from that perspective, I believe that EPH is a stable and attractive utility in the market. The second very important point is our passion for transition from coal. As already mentioned by Gary, it has to be done by someone, and this is not only let's say financial demanding mission, but it is also a socially demanding mission, because we have to have a plan not only for replacing the assets, but also we have to have plans for people which are working in our companies. So this is, in our view, it's about responsibility which EPH was able to accept and develop further. As already mentioned, we are doing a lot. We are doing a lot in terms of transitioning from coal. We have already decreased emission factor by 47% since 2014. We have already decreased the CO2 emissions by 21 million tons per year. We already announced further closures of our hard coal power plants through the Europe, which will bring another 8 million tons per year till from 2023, when all these power plants will be already closed. And we have further plans to decrease the overall emissions to 42 million tons per year at around 2035. So these are huge plans and I would say even commitments from our side, which we are putting on the table, and we hope that also others in the market will do the same, because obviously to save and improve the environmental situation in Europe is the big target for everyone and all stakeholders in the market. So in nutshell, EPH is stable. 2020 year was a successful one, and we did a lot of other efforts to improve the environmental situation. And also we are very mindful about the social aspect of the transition. So this is, I think, all for the presentation. And now I would open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypads. If you are joining us online, please click the request to speak flag icon. If you choose to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. As a reminder, that's star followed by one on your telephone keypads. And if you are joining us online, please click the request to speak flag icon. At this time, we've had no telephone questions come through, so I'll hand back over to you, Pavel.
Okay, thank you very much for your for listening to us. I think we are enjoying EPH very much, so hopefully you have enjoyed a little bit our presentation. Obviously, in case of banks, investors, and all the participants, we are always open for your calls, requests, questions, and so forth. So once you have anything, please just get in touch with us, and we will be more than happy to give you answers. So once again, thank you very much. Also for my team, Gary and Tomáš, and nice day.
Thank you.